The Sharpshooters, episode 24, December 7th, 2005. I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
We are the Sharpshooters. Marcus is a little frustrated right now because I cannot get him a piece of software for his class.
I
can't do nothing about it. I did my best. But we're not here to talk about Marcus' troubles. We're here to talk about wrestling. So, Marcus, how was the week in wrestling for you?
Meh.
Do you want to do this right now or do you want to...
We can do it.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah, let's go.
You can put yourself together?
I guess so.
And you can make it.
I hope so.
All right. So, let me give out the website. The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. For any comments or suggestions, please send them to our email address. As we all know, the poll has been closed down. It's probably still on the site if you look at it because I haven't took it off yet. Don't know what the new poll is going to be, but it's time to give the results. The question was, would you mind if WWE or wrestling in general had an offseason? The winning answer was no. With 61.9% of the votes, the listeners out there said they wouldn't mind with an offseason. 28.57% said they wouldn't mind with an offseason. And 9.52% said maybe. Those were the results. I guess you see the conscience of everybody is that no one would mind for it. Just if they implemented it the right way. What do you feel about the offseason, Marcus?
Didn't we go over that?
Yeah, but I mean, does the poll results show anything?
Yeah, it shows that nobody would care.
Okay.
I mean, it was a dominating fashion on the other side.
Oh, man, I still got my cough. All right, now, moving on to the news, because we're still trying to do this no-break format. Please send us more comments about what do you guys think about that. I guess the biggest story in the slow week of news is that...
Not really that slow.
It was pretty slow.
I mean, slow. I don't think it's that slow.
It's only three stories I found that was north worthy talking
three
about.
Three good stories, though.
Yeah, but...
It's not slow.
A good week in news for me, but if I can get six juicy stories...
There's no way you're going to get six juicy stories.
I can't get six juicy stories
in 2 days.
Anyway, the first and most important news story is Mr. Kennedy is injured. He has apparently torn his lat muscle while he was overseas wrestling in Italy for WWE. This has to be a huge loss because they are believing that he's going to be out for 6 months.
Well, they could just bring him in to do something. I mean, they could do something.
He can't wrestle, from what I understand. It's more painful than, even though I guess Batista and his injury is very similar, Batista can work through it with drugs. Sorry. And... He had to have surgery. I'm trying to say...
I think they should make him the new Raw General Manager. Why not? Throw him in that...
You know, I have no idea who the new Raw General Manager is going to be.
Just throw King Kennedy. Keep him in the spotlight. They got Edge doing the cutting edge out there.
But I enjoy the cutting edge.
No, I didn't.
Anyway, so he's torn. Also, next news story is Christy Hemme has been released by WWE. This is kind of ironic because she was sent to Ohio Valley Wrestling to work on her ability to become a better performer because she was, you know, she was really trying to make this a profession. I guess on her way down there, she received a phone call from WWE management and, well, saying that she was going to be released. Do you have anything
Boom
to say?
Boom goes to Dynamite. That's cold.
Well, I looked on the site today and it was a rumor saying that one of the reasons why she was released because she was asking for more money. I guess Johnny Ace, the booker, if I got his name right, offered her one of the notorious lowball contracts. So everybody know that she got the 1 year, $250,000 contract for winning the Diva Search.
But there, to justify that, their side, there were people making less.
Yeah.
Doing more.
She was the Diva making the most money.
Which shouldn't be happening.
I mean, if Trish is the champ,
Trish makes more than her.
She might.
They just said there was a few people less that should probably be getting paid more. And Chrissy Hemme.
And then the last story. Oh, wait. Because of this, we actually received an email from Omar because he seemed to be fairly upset with Christy Hemme being fired. Let me bring this up to you. He says, what do we think about Christy Hemme's release? personally for me, I'm not going to really miss the chick.
What?
I'm not going to
miss. You're not going to miss the skip?
No. I will admit, I do agree with Omar when he says they have been doing a lot of unfair moves to the diva because they released some really good divas, and it's like they're taking price cuts or they're taking pay cuts or getting rid of them when you still have Scotty Too Hotty and Funaki.
Yeah, why is Scotty Too Hotty Funaki and SmackDown's no one else deserves that job.
But then he brings up a good point. Trish wasn't really a wrestler when she first came and she worked it. I'm sorry to say, I just didn't see Christy coming off as Trish did. Trish is just Trish.
Well, you don't have to actually be a good wrestler to be a good women's champion or whatever.
I just think
that... Trish didn't wrestle for like 4 years.
And
she was the women's champion.
And then, for me, I only like Trish when she's a good guy, because when she's a bad guy, she really annoys me.
Yeah, she wasn't that bad. Down the line, I start getting used to it. It annoys me that she's a good guy now.
And then he also says that he feels that WWE has really done a terrible job this year with a couple of the decisions that they had made, such as getting rid of JR, which is a very bad decision. Demoting the cruiserweight division and letting go of a lot of cruiserweights.
Before that, I don't think they ever promoted the
cruiserweight division. No, I don't think so.
Except when Rey Mysterio was champion for like a week.
Then
he was feuding with Hardy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Then he brings up them letting go of Matt Hardy, which was kind of awful how they brought it up, but I don't really know the behind-the-scenes stuff, because this could have been a rule. I don't know. It could have been a fake thing. Letting go of Dom Marie, Lady Charlie Haas, and Jackie Gayton go after they got married. That's cold.
That was cold. Hey, congratulations to your age, Charlie Haas.
You're fired. Then letting go of Molly Nydia and Gail Kim, like I mentioned. I was really to replace with Candice, Maria, Crystal Joy, and Amy Weber. I mean... The tag team division, as he pointed, has been destroyed. He has great points about this. And then he asked the same question. No, he actually, being sarcastic, said, but at least Scotty Too Hotty is still with the company.
At least Scotty has a job.
I guess. And then he asked the question, will we do a review in 2005?
Yeah,
I don't know. It really depends on if Raw and SmackDown do review shows, because... I mean, so much happened this year that it's kind of really hard to remember.
I can remember everything perfectly, very fine.
Whatever.
But I'm saying we could do it. I mean, it could just be our top 5 moments of the year. It's the year in review.
Oh, okay.
As simple as that. Well, right down the middle. Right
okay.
There.
Now, the last news story before we go back into more reader email or listener
reader?
Email.
Read
Shut up! Because I'm reading the email. Leave me alone.
It's reader email?
Leave me alone.
They read the email.
All right. Joy Styles has officially signed his WWE deal. The fiscal terms were not released, but it will be a 5-year deal. What do you feel about this, Marcus?
Good move. Bad move that they fired JR, though.
Well,
he's not
fired.
JR.
But this pretty much says that this is the nail in the coffin for JR.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
They can always fire Michael Cole.
Michael Cole has done nothing wrong, but...
I know, but I'm just saying. They can always fire Michael Cole.
Did you hear about Booker T?
Yeah, that he tried for content when he retired.
Yeah, when he retired, he wants to be a commentator. But
I doubt it.
You don't understand what I was just doing right there, right? I was asking you that question so you could return it to the listeners. Like, yeah, I know about him trying out to be a commentator when he retired.
But, I'm not your puppet.
But you know what you did.
You pulled my string. You are now.
You mumbled off. And so
I mumble off occasionally.
Okay. Now it's time for...
That's my M.O.
One of my favorite segments of the show. Listeners' feedback.
Is it?
I love it. I love it.
You would.
As you guys all know, me and Marcus, about a week ago, on episode, this is 20, see, this is 24.
22.
No, wait. This is 24.
Oh, wait. This is last week to get this, to the
it'll
question?
Be yeah, but I'm going to get out. Episode 22. Me and Marcus had the heated debate. What do you like to see in a good match? What makes something a good match? Marcus said it was undefined. I said that you can find things.
You can find things?
Well, whatever.
What are you talking
anyway,
about?
Anyway, you want to know what I
do
said?
Do you not know what you're talking about?
I'm delusional.
I knew it.
Anyway, so if you guys want to know what the heck we were talking about, go back, listen to episode 22. But we got, like I said, we got some email. We got some from my boy Dr. Dre in Colorado. Of course, he agreed with me because I am the same person in the group. What can you say? What can you say?
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
We'll see.
You can't even read the email. Good.
Oh.
You stuttered?
The points that he brought up are why that you can find things out of a good match. He says a great match can be timed because a great match should have no run-ins. They should let the storyline carry the match. It should have
Not really.
It should have great crowd psychology where the fans are really in it. Good technical wrestling with some hardcore bumps. He can make sense with the refs, not like TNA. Good commentating, because that makes a great thing for watching it at home. And a lot of special conditions and stipulation. And also knowing when to stop an angle and quit an angle. Unlike TNA this week with the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
All I gotta say is this. I'm about to depict it. One, your run-in can work in a lot of ways. Like when Mick Foley became championship, Steve Austin ran in. And I believe he hit the Rock over the head with the chair. Mick Foley won the belt. That made the match for me a lot. It made it a lot better.
Okay.
Run-ins can work.
Okay.
And technical, Steve. You can't have Viscerous or Big Show in a technical match. It doesn't work. And you can't have a hardcore bump.
First of all,
if the guy can't.
First of all, don't bring up points that another listener made. That's a point listener made.
I got to pick the emails.
When we say technical wrestling, we know that we're not going to see a technical wrestling match between Viscerous and Big Show.
I'm just saying
that when you see two wrestlers coming into a match, you expect certain things out of them. If you saw Kurt Angle and Christian Wall fighting,
it's still undefined.
Anyway, we're going back to this.
Your own personal.
We have an email from James from Australia. He sent us his first email. He says normally he feels that Marcus is full of crap, but this time he's going with Marcus, saying that the matches can't be defined. He brings up the point that he loves technical mat wrestling like Kurt Angle or Bret Hart, but he wouldn't want to see Viscerous and Big Show do that. He said he likes high-flying styles. He loves squash matches. He also loves Triple H losing any type of match. But he said it takes a good storyline. And, you know, he said the wrestlers can determine the match. If people are into the match, it can be a good match. I still think that it's not defined, because some of the points that you bring up, it does define good matches. It's given
it's
definition.
Undefined. It's your own personal preference.
It's given definition to the match.
It's your own personal preference. It's undefined.
So thank you, James, for that. Then we got another email from Omar about a good match. He actually agreed with both me and Marcus. He said we're both right. On one hand, he think it can be defined, but everyone has their own definition, taste. I love technical holds, counter holds, chain wrestling psychology. That's why he stands behind guys like Benoit, Angle, Gorel, Shelton, Lesnar, and Jericho. On the other hand, you get a worker like Undertaker, who he finds very boring, and Randy Orton, a good rookie. But then they can pull off a good match. You don't expect it. But he says that we're both going. And I think pretty much that's what sums up the argument. It's really entitled to what people believe.
That's why it's undefined.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
is. It's not undefined. Marcus, you're just pig-headed, and you want it to be undefined. You want to be right.
No,
you
feel it's undefined.
You feel the listeners gang up against you. It's not undefined.
It's undefined.
It's not undefined.
Undefined, Eric.
If different people...
Exactly! Different people like different things, and it's your own personal preference. Undefined good match.
But wasn't the question was, what do you find?
No, the question was, what makes a good match?
What makes a good match?
And that's undefined.
Guess what? If I'm a person and I have my own opinion,
exactly.
I can tell you what makes a good match. So,
I know. That's why the whole good match argument is undefined.
No, it's not.
There's no definition
because
to a good match.
If someone can come up with a definition to themselves, then that's not undefined.
I've been down this road.
Just because
it's
maybe
undefined.
You don't have the intellect to decipher what you like in a good match.
I don't think you have the intellect, honestly.
Maybe that's why it's
because
undefined to you.
It's random to everybody else.
Because when you can't figure out something, you get upset.
I figured it out. It's undefined. Everybody's their own personal preference, meaning a good match is undefined because nobody can say what they like. If you know what I'm trying to say. What they like, and somebody else may not like that, meaning that the good match is still undefined, because what if somebody else didn't like that type of match, meaning it's
but
no
the
good.
What do you find a good match? You might say a match is good, but I might say it sucked.
Exactly.
Because it didn't have something
personal in it. Personal preference.
And so how does that undefine? Because everybody has their personal opinion.
Because there's so many different factors into somebody else's opinion.
No, it's not.
Yes, Marcus,
you don't realize you're making no sense
you're
right here.
You're making no sense.
You're making no sense.
Because you're agreeing with me.
No,
and you
I'm
don't
not.
Even know it.
I'm saying that I have my personal preference.
Undefined.
Listen, before you interrupt. Listen to what I'm saying.
Undefined.
Listen. Before you talk,
undefined.
Listen. Before you listen, just listen. Don't say nothing.
What?
I'm saying when I see a match, if I see Kurt Angle versus Shelton Benjamin, I know we can make this a good match. If they have a good technical, I want to see good technical holds.
What if
I
don't see,
why aren't you listening? Don't
interrupt. I am listening. No, what if it don't work?
Because you're interrupting.
I just had to cut in right there.
That's not listening. To become a good listener, you cannot interrupt. You cannot have none of your own opinions until that person finishes.
What?
That's how you become a good listener. Mm-hmm. Now listen. When you see Kurt Angle, Shelton Benjamin, you expect good technical wrestling. You expect Angle to slap the ankle hold on there. You expect things to happen. Yes, it might work, but I would like to see those things. And if I saw them and it worked in the context of the story, that made that a good match for me.
Exactly, for you. Undefined. So, no, it might not work for me.
So, exactly. So that wouldn't be a good match to
exactly.
you. Because you weren't looking for that. But let's say that Dre was looking for something else, and they did that. That made it a good match for him.
Exactly.
It depends on what you're looking for.
That's why a good match is undefined.
How? How does that become?
Because it's personal preference.
But that's the question. It's a personal question. What makes something a good match to you?
Like I said, what I like is different with somebody else.
Okay,
like.
But the question is not about what makes a good match to everybody.
That's what the question
no,
was.
No, the question I have repeated numerous times, and it shows that you're not listening. I said, what makes a good match to you, and your response is undefined.
Mm-hmm. You that, changed the question.
I have not changed the question. Marcus, you're just not a good listener. Deal with it.
Uh-huh.
Moving on, also we had a top five on last episode about who do we felt was the best, most underused talent. Dre sent us his. He said Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Val Venus, the Cruiserweights, and Kane. And then we had also, we got a top five from Floyd. He wanted to know what were our top five finishing moves. We did this one already in episode 17. Check that out, Floyd. His top five was the Stunner, the Tombstone / Last Ride, the DDT performed by Jake the Snake, the Sharpshooter, and the Finger Four. Then he said he gave an honor to mention to Kennedy's move, the RKO, Five Star, the Cobra Clutch, and the Frog Splash. Okay, he said he couldn't narrow down really to five, but he hates the Leg Drop, the FU, Sweet Chin Music, and the Pedigree. How can you hate the Pedigree? Anyway, moving on. Now it's time, after we get from the email, and Marcus is pissed because of the conversation. He can't separate his personal feelings from a conversation.
Are we even doing this show anymore?
We're going to go back. Marcus, what's the matter? You didn't want to read the email?
We already did.
I know. That's why we're going to that thing. I'm pointing out your discussion.
You're still discussing the same discussion.
No, I'm pointing out your discussion that you have because you can't take the debate something with somebody.
I did.
And you got upset. You're all huffy and puffy.
You know what got upset? You're like, listen.
I'm just saying that you need to listen because you
I did listen.
Anyways, no reason to get back into it. Let's get back into the show. The next thing is time for TNA Impact, which aired on December 3rd of 2005. The show opens with Don West patrolling a parking lot looking for Raven to show up for the House of Pain match. He bumps into Samoa Joe. He asks him what Samoa Joe is doing there tonight. Samoa Joe gives him no response, holds up his hand, just showing AJ. Marcus, the question I ask you, what else would Samoa Joe be doing there tonight but going there to wrestle? Isn't it his job to wrestle?
Yeah, he could have been going there to buy some peanuts.
I just thought it was a very stupid question to ask somebody. You're a professional wrestler.
Don't you get paid to be there?
Yeah. You're supposed to be at the show. Why wouldn't he be there? But holding up the hand with AJ, it's like, okay, so he's going to do something with AJ tonight. Fortunately, I didn't come to really late into the show. He also runs into Bobby Heenan. Which is, you know, it's nice seeing Bobby Heenan, but the reasons why he was at TNA Impact, because TNA is celebrating the White Sox winning the World Series, he feels that he needs to be there because he's a great Chicago fan. Another good question for me, why a promotion based out of Orlando, Florida, cares about what happens in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, you got some Chicago guys working there.
But is it really enough to have a whole show dedicated to Chicago, the White Sox?
Yeah, I see why not. They haven't won in like 800 years.
I just feel that it's stupid because they're trying to get off of AJ Pierzynski. I guess he's somewhat of a wrestling fan, and he called himself the phenomenal AJ Pierzynski.
He didn't call himself. The guy on ESPN called him that.
It doesn't matter. I just think it was stupid. So.
Yeah. I didn't care. I didn't mind that much.
The very first match of the night is the X Division match. It's Chris Sabin versus Petey Williams versus Austin Aries versus Alex Shelley. Question, was this a fatal four-way tag match or were they all against each other?
Fatal four-way.
But to me, at times, it seemed like they were tagging up with each other because I never really saw Petey, William, and Shelly fight. They tag in and out?
Yeah,
I guess.
You didn't see that?
But I never really saw the heels
Matter
fight
fact,
each other.
I think Shelly and Petey Williams actually had some problems with each other.
I will explain having it. One thing about Shelly that was funny, for some reason he decided he was going to bring out his camera and tripod so he could map his and study the greats in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
How this match, Chris Sabin wins the match. A lot of people doesn't like Chris Sabin. Williams and Shelly beat down Austin Aries, but he gets the tag to Sabin somehow. Sabin makes the comeback in the ring against it, and he hits the cradle shot on Petey Williams for the pin. Was this a good, entertaining match to you, Marcus?
Only match worth watching tonight, not my opinion.
Pretty much. I thought it was a pretty decent match. Could have had some better spots. I mean, with the time that they were given to work it out, I thought they did execute a good job. Plus, I like Austin Aries. I would like to see him get a bigger push instead of just being a mid-card X division. He's not, I mean, he hasn't even never been considered for the championship, but I guess because AJ and Samoa Joe are feuding right now, what can you do? After that, they go backstage, and there's America's Most Wanted. For some reason, they're backstage drinking beers, watching footage from the funeral that they have for the Team 3D. Terry Taylor's interviewing them. They cut a promo about Team 3D. Like, yeah, spiky baggy. The best thing about this whole skit was that he tried to grab a beer, and they didn't let him get the beer. Were you being distracted by the TV?
No, it was just the end of that song, whatever was back there. It was in my head. I couldn't even... Here.
Did you have anything to say about the skit?
The rooster trying to steal a beer was pretty funny. Whatever he said, AMW said about, grabbing the beer. He said, you just lucked out on your damn luck, boy, or something like that.
So that's pretty much all I really mentioned about that. Next match was Abyss versus Kenny King. And some people saying Kenny King is the guy from Tough Enough. Could you confirm that, or
I have no clue who the hell Kenny King was.
I know he was either.
I know he was losing.
This was a squash match, as we all know. Abyss hits his shock treatment, then hits the black hole slam for the win. James Mitchell hops in the ring with a mic. They go to commercial. Why do they continue to go to commercial when someone decides to talk and make people wait?
Well, Kurt Angle does it every week on Raw.
But Kurt Angle's Kurt Angle.
Nah, you don't wait for Kurt Angle.
I like James Mitchell, though. I think James Mitchell make any wrestler evil that he can be evil. Mm. I don't know. So he gets on there, he starts talking
about... Can't take Abyss serious.
I hate Abyss. He starts talking about Sabu. He takes a shot at Sabu. Lights go down. Sabu's in the ring with the steel chair with the barbed wire. For some reason, Abyss kicks the chair out his head. I guess he doesn't have the fear totally of the barbed wire in the chair anymore.
No, he still has it.
They fight, and they go into the crowd and to backstage. But what I noticed is that, like, when WWE, when the wrestlers go into the crowd, the fans are livid. They're just, like, going crazy and out of control, and they're trying to touch the wrestlers. When they went to the crowd with TNA, the fans were just standing there. Like, they really didn't care what was happening.
Yeah, I saw them moving around and stuff. I don't know what you saw.
No,
saw them moving and doing stuff.
They didn't have the same passion.
They had more. I think they actually had more passion.
I didn't see the passion.
I don't know. What were you looking at then?
I was looking at the crowd. I did not see the passion. I didn't. But anyway, it leads to the back where Mitchell's telling Abyss that he needs to hit Sabu with the chair covered in steel barbed wire. He hits him in the head, a little sissy hit at that.
Well, because he's afraid of barbed wire. He had to play it off.
And so you can't knock the crap out of somebody?
I justify this if he's afraid of barbed wire. I don't justify the fear of barbed wire, but I justify him being so timid with the chair and hitting Sabu.
Then he goes over to where there's a stack of rail gardens. He docks them all on the ground. He chokeslams Sabu on the rail garden.
Very painful.
I think what they did really well here is they did establish Abyss being a bad guy and being dominant in his own special way, considering that for the last 2 weeks he has lost every match he has been in.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, I guess they're trying to give some fuel behind the fire of these guys fighting at, what's the name of it? Turning Point? Turning Point in a barbed wire match. I really don't care. Abyss, Sabu. Why couldn't Sabu be in a House of Fun match? Next thing, they aired a video package of Rhino talking about his trials and tribulations in WWE, talking about how he was getting divorced, how his wife took away his kid. how just bad things kept happening to him in WWE. Did you like this video? Because you did like last week's video.
Yeah, it was boring.
It just that it's for some reason I'm not very captivated with Rhino's opinion. It's like I don't care really much about Rhino's story. It's like I don't want to know.
Yeah, I have nothing to say on that. It's just this video. Okay.
So after they showed the video, Don West and Mike Tenay are looking at the screen. It's like, wow, what a wonderful story. And then this is where a show really takes a nosedive. Here comes Jeff Jarrett with his annoying music, calling Mike Tenay into the ring. Doesn't know why he continued to harass Mike Tenay. He could have went straight to the ring without Mike Tenay, but maybe Jarrett feels that he needs to be interviewed.
Well, accordingly, Mike Tenay has some type of control because Scott D'Amore attacked Mike Tenay too.
I guess. He says, Jarrett gets in the ring and he says, this is TNA Impact, not Dr. Phil. That was hilarious, Jarrett. And he accuses TNA management of favoritism. Who the heck is TNA management? Isn't that Larry Zbyszko, or is it somebody hired
it? Larry Zbyszko's just commissioner. There's people hired to him.
So pretty
behind the scenes.
Pretty much Jarrett goes on his long rant to the point where the fans in the crowd start chanting boring, 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 and more boring, because it was very boring. And then for some reason, I don't know if Jarrett decided to make this happen or not, but he decided to... They let him finish his spew before Christian came out like Jericho. I think it would have been better if Christian would have came out and cut him off.
Nah, it also worked the same. So still he stopped coming out like Jericho.
Christian comes out. He says, listen up, slap nuts. He was listening to Jared in the back ramble. He said he didn't have... He said he was listening to him put him to sleep. He had no problem. He was just minding his own business until he heard his name come up. After that, he said he's not the flavor of the month. He is Captain Charisma, and he's tired of Jared. Then says that Jared only contributions to TNA is broken guitars and bad haircuts. Christian was really getting over with the fans at this point. Then, pretty much, he says he wants to fight whoever wins the match between Rhino and Jeff Jarrett. They come out to the ring, they fight. Bobby Roode comes in, break it up. Attacks Christian from behind. As Jarrett is about to get back on the apron, Jackie Gator comes out, pull Jarrett off. She slaps him. And then security comes out, American Most Wanted. All heck ensued. It sounds like it was a quick segment, but it was very long and very painful.
Your description was very long and very painful. There was nothing to talk about on that. It was just Jarrett blabbling, Christian talking, Jackie runs out for no reason. Jarrett's like, get back there, how dare you, and then slap, and then...
If you hate that description, happen. You're going to really hate the Raw description.
What?
There's Wendy. Then,
what are you talking about?
Then, they had a four Live Crew promo. Sorry, I didn't really take much notes about this because I really didn't care. So, moving on. Then it was time.
Wait a minute. You can't just skip 4 Live
Crew. I can skip 4 Live
Crew.
You
can't skip the 4.
Well,
the new and
okay,
four
since I skipped them, how about you tell me about 4 Live Crew?
I don't give a damn about 4 Live Crew. Well, I'm just saying.
Tell me about 4 Live
skipped
Crew.
It.
I can skip 4 Live Crew.
Well, the guy came out and he was like, hey, K-Quick, you're an athlete. Hey, Billy Good. Any NFL team need a linebacker like you. Hey, Road Dogg, you here.
And you fought
and Cody, you put the glue together. You guys are the one. That's all he said. You guys are the one.
And you felt that was important?
That's important enough to retort because he said they are the one. I don't know what the hell they're the one of. But I'll tell you this. They're no four horsemen.
You don't even know who that guy is.
I can't remember his name.
It was Killer Bob or Bob Killy. I don't know.
It was K-Quick's daddy.
All right. So after this, the next match is the House of Fun match. Or House of Pain. Whatever Raven calls
it. It was a House of Pain.
They have been hyping this match for what? Last week or has it been 2 weeks?
Just last week.
Pretty much, House of Pain match is a glorified version of a hardcore match. Pretty much where they have all the weapons possible outside of the ring. But the catch was that Raven didn't know who his opponent was. So Raven comes out first. Before he even gets the match, Sugar Bear gives Raven the chance to quit and sign a release to leave TNA. Can anybody explain to me the hatred that he has for Raven? Do you understand?
No.
Okay. Then, he decides that he walks up to the apron, he announces his opponent, for the House of Pain match. The first person he announces is Simon Diamond. Whoopee. Simon Diamond walks out, does his pose. Then Larry Zbysko says, also he's going to be with Elix Skipper and David Young. And then when they're together, they form the Diamonds in the Rough. First of all, why is it three guys against one? Second, who wants to see Simon Diamond and his crew wrestle?
It's three guys against one because Zbysko hates Raven.
I guess the hatred, I don't know. Pretty much, they whoops Raven's butt the entire match, but Raven gets a comeback when his follower comes in the ring with the kendo stick knocking people out. But then eventually, he gets beat up. Then, they continue to pound on him. They drop kick a trash can into his head while he was standing on crutches where he could easily just drop the crutches and fell down. Larry comes down to the ring again, makes the offer. Does he want to sign to be released? He doesn't sign. They throw him through a table. They pin him. They win the match. Raven's still with TNA. He still hates Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko still hates Raven. Nothing was really solved from this match. Then after that, with about no time left to spare in it, they show Samoa Joe whooping AJ Styles' butt against some kind of countertop where they just continue to pound him. The placement of this moment really sucked because it gave the announcers no time to build up or even bring up the fact that AJ was just jumped by Samoa Joe.
What? You can't put this somewhere else.
You're very speechless, Marcus.
I have nothing to say!
Are you going to be better with Raw?
I don't even know.
Okay.
There's nothing for me to say. They left it at the end.
Okay.
They could have put it somewhere else.
All right. Well, I guess now it's time for Monday Night Raw. Did you like this Monday Night Raw?
No, not really.
I actually thought it was a very entertaining Monday Night Raw. Because it was nice they actually had a story that was entertaining.
It's an F.
The matches sucked. The matches weren't what they could have been. But the courtroom scenes and stuff was entertaining.
Yeah, it was mildly entertaining. It wasn't the greatest thing.
Pretty much how the show starts off is Vince McMahon comes out in a garbage truck. He calls out Eric Bischoff. He tells Bischoff that he failed to achieve his goal. He says that being a Raw general manager is more than a job to him. McMahon says there will have to be a trial. For the first time ever on Raw, there will be the trial of Eric Bischoff. He says that he did appoint Bischoff an attorney. It's Jonathan Coachman. Jonathan Coachman comes out. He's telling Eric Bischoff that I got this, don't worry. Then the first line he says in the defense is that Eric Bischoff is an asshole. Then he cleans it up and says he doesn't get paid to be a nice guy and to be everyone's friend. He gets paid to present the best show possible. Do you think Eric Bischoff in his time has done this?
What do you mean?
Has he present the best show possible?
Probably not, because he has John Cena as champion, you know. Okay. That's what happens with that situation.
So, Ben McMahon calls out the prosecutor, who's no other than Cheap Pop himself, Mick Foley. Mick Foley points out how Bischoff ruined his moment when he won a world title because he told the announcers on Nitro to announce it to the world, but it kind of backfired on him because it made more people turn to see how he won the belt. Then he says that Bischoff has been a failure in his quest to entertain the general public, especially in Charleston, South Carolina, once again selling his Cheap Pop, which he did get from the fans. And then McMahon said by the end of the night, a decision would be made, but they're not going to have it in the middle of the ring because I thought that's where they're going to have it. And they said they were going to go to another undisclosed location to continue the trial. So this whole segment at the beginning of the show, you didn't like, Mark?
No, it was okay, but I just knew it wasn't going to be no wrestling, just a lot of boring talk pretty much through the whole night.
Okay. And you don't like storylines you just want to see wrestling?
No, I like to see a storyline, but this had nothing to do with any storyline. It was just, he could have just fired him and got away with it in the beginning.
But I like
I would have just been happy with that. But it was just a waste of time the whole night.
I think I enjoyed the twist because, I mean, with us coming in and expecting for him to get fired, it's nice that they actually pulled some up and why he has so much hatred against him. Why did he deserve to be fired instead of just saying, hey, he didn't achieve his goal last week. Let's just fire the guy.
Well, they've been talking about firing him for months now.
Yeah, but it actually kind of made it more entertaining having a trial, knowing that
you
Vince...
You didn't need the trash can in the trial to know he was going to fire him.
Yeah, but still, knowing that Vince gave the man an equal chance, it was pretty good.
They could have had more matches or longer matches instead of just having this trial go
on. I thought the trial had a purpose.
It had no purpose.
The first match, though, was Big Show and Kane versus the Heart Throbs, Snitsky and Tomko, Val Venus and Viscera in a fatal four-way. Pretty much, this was another squash match for Big Show and Kane. The only cool part of this whole match was how they finished the match when they did a choke slam from a member of each of the teams and pinned all three opponents. So, pretty much, Val Venus got choke slam, one of the Heartthrobs, and Tyson Tomko, they got the 1-2-3. What did you think about this match, Mark?
It just ended.
It just ended? It was like nothing else better?
Yeah, it's just they just beat them. See, they just borrowed everything back to the trial again. Just
yep, they went to the courtroom, and the first witness was Stephanie McMahon. They show a video clip back from a SmackDown 2002 where Bischoff dressed up like Vince McMahon, and he kisses Stephanie. She said that she still has the yucky taste in her mouth after all these years. Coach objects to this, but then Vince yells out real loud, "Shut up!" Then he regains his composure and says, "It's overruled." And then he dismisses his daughter. Pretty much right there saying that it didn't matter what Coach or Eric Bischoff had to come and say.
Which Stephanie was right. Which meant this trial was a waste of time because he did that the whole night.
But still.
It's a waste of time. But it made it entertaining.
Made
an extra match or something.
I spoke to a lot of people at work today. Everybody liked the trial. You're the first person I met that didn't like the trial.
It just shouldn't have been on there. It was a waste of time.
It was there.
They could have just had it all at the end or put it all in the beginning and have them wait and then come back to the trial at the end later on.
That was my only issue with the trial because it ended the show. That was my only issue.
It ended. It started. It was in the middle, the beginning, the end part. It was all through the show.
But you know WWE is known from storylines.
This wasn't even a storyline. You know he was getting fired.
Not necessarily because they said they were taking out the trash.
I know he was getting fired.
The trash could have been anything, personally.
I mean, if you pull out a trash can, you know he's getting fired.
So you didn't think at any second that it could have been a chance they were screwing John Cena?
No. No second. I didn't think so.
You didn't think it was a possibility?
During the week I did, but then I realized they're firing him.
All right, might as well move on to the next match. That was Victoria versus Mickie James, accompanied by all their cronies. You know, Trish was out there. Victoria was out there. Pretty much how this match ends, Mickie does a spin kick, which doesn't really look like it hurts that much and wasn't that impressive, but hey, what can you do? Candice tries to interfere, but Trish goes and kicks her off the apron. Then Victoria catches Mickie off guard because she's watching what Trish does and gets the 1-2-3 from a roll-up pin. After the match, Mickey is looking at Trish disgusted, like, where are you at, something like that. But then she shakes it off. They begin smiling again, they're friends. What do you think about that? Do you think they're setting up a good storyline between Mickey and turn on Trish?
Yeah, I guess. We just need to just do it already because everybody knows it's coming.
But then,
let's get over it.
Well, I think what concerns a lot of people, though, even whoever does pay attention to the women's division, is that when you turn Mickey bad, because I guess that's what's going to happen. Or even if you turn Trish bad. Well, that would only make one good or one baby face
diva. Nobody cares.
I think it's actually...
I don't care about their division.
But I think it's
always
going
to end up being Trish versus Victoria. Trish versus Mickie James. That's how it's always going to be.
Unless they bring Melina into the mix.
Melina's on SmackDown, not entering the mix.
And Candice Michelle's trying to learn how to wrestle.
Candice Michelle... will not learn how to wrestle and will not be in this match.
Go Daddy. So, after this match, they go back to the courtroom and it's time
for... Did you just call me Daddy?
No, I said Go Daddy as a reference to Candice Michelle.
Well, just say Candice Michelle, then say Go Daddy.
I don't need
you to call me Daddy.
I didn't call you Daddy. I would never call you Daddy.
Disgusting.
So, they're back in the courtroom and it's time for the second witness. That would be Tajiri. When Tajiri's, he's talking through an interpreter, and he says that he was a big star in Japan and in ECW, but Bischoff has held him back. Maybe because he hasn't learned English yet? Could that be a possibility why he was held back?
He was held back because of racism.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Then he said he wishes a pregnant rhinoceros shoves his mighty horn up Eric's anal crevice.
He said this in Japanese. You didn't write down the Japanese words, man.
I said through an interpreter. I can't write Japanese.
Why can't you?
I don't know.
I can write Japanese.
Okay, well, next time you do the show notes.
I'm talented.
I just had a question. What's the difference between a pregnant rhinoceros and a regular rhinoceros?
Well, the pregnant rhinoceros is fat.
Okay.
And has a bulge and probably more evil.
Okay.
because it's leaving this evil seed come out through the womb.
And then in his broken English, he says that he hoped Bischoff gets fired.
Wait, don't call it broken. I understood exactly what he said.
But he was going for the broken English. Mm-hmm. Then Bischoff wishes to coach. Coach tells Tajiri that he might want to get back to the arena because he's having a match with Triple H tonight. I thought this was a good point because even though Bischoff hadn't been fired yet, he was still pulling weight, making matches, and no one could say nothing because he was a
genius. He made one match.
He made one match.
If he was the man, he would have made a match. We gave him immunity or something.
What scared me, though, is like as Tajiri is leaving to go back, Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah walks in. And thank God they go to commercial.
Well, on WWE Unlimited, they're still there.
Yeah, but who's watching WWE Unlimited to see this?
I'm watching it.
Well, when they return, Mae Young is yelling, and that's why Eric Bischoff has no penis. I have no idea what this had to do with anything about him being fired. Coach objects.
It had everything to do with him not being fired, man.
Coach objects and says there is little to no evidence that Bischoff has no penis. Even though Coach might have been wearing a Johnny Cochran shade, he was no attorney.
Man, he looked pretty good to me. He was pretty clean.
Then they show probably one of the worst clips ever. They show Mae Young giving Bischoff the Bronco Buster. No one needs to see that. Moving on. Then it was time for the fourth witness, Chris Masters.
Why didn't you go over that Mae Young start doing, you know, the little blah, blah, signal?
Do we really need to talk about Mae Young doing really disgusting things at her own
age?
Well,
I would describe it.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Well, no, but this is, we don't want to be explicit. We don't want to go for that edge. We don't want to go for the momentum. We don't want to go to the mountaintop and then go to the dark side of the moon.
All right. So, it's right. Time for the fourth witness. That would be Chris Master, who was the bailiff the entire night that decided he didn't...
No, not the entire night.
Well, it's up until this point, that decided that he did not need to wear a shirt while he was the bailiff.
Eric, when your body is ash to stone, you don't need to wear a shirt.
So pretty much, I knew something was about to be up because Coach asked him a question that he didn't ask nobody else the whole night. Could you please state your full name? Chris says his name is Chris Masters. But McMahon said that is you just perjured yourself on the stand because he knows for a fact that his real name is Chris Mordecai. And he dismissed him from the trial and told him to get out. Not only did he lose a bailiff, but Coach lost his witness. What can you say? But then
they could have ended this in the beginning. They should have said, Bischoff, I'll go through the night. I'll see if he deserves to be fired. In the end, he could have came out and fired him. But he didn't need this unfair trial.
I thought the trial unfair. Once again, I like the unfair trial. But cutting back to something that you left, after they dismissed Chris Mordecai, they cut into the locker room with your boy, Shelton Benjamin, getting ready for the match. Mm-hmm. And because this is your boy, I'm going to let you describe the moment.
What? You have the notes? I don't even remember.
Okay, since he's not ready.
You want me to describe it?
No, because you might get the quick one.
I'm going to give you the quick one.
No reason to take the quick one.
Shelton's taping up. They're in, where, North or South?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Flair country.
No, it's not. North Carolina's
Flair. They're both Flair country.
Actually, technically, because...
All Carolina is Flair country.
But Benjamin is from South Carolina, so it should be Benjamin country.
It's not Benjamin country. They won't even give him a title shot to Intercontinental for Benjamin company. That's beside the point. He's taping up and carrying on. And then here comes the devil. Mr. I have a book out right now. Shawn Michaels. I think he plugged it doing this.
No, he didn't. He just told Shelton how his career has gone downhill since being an amateur.
Yeah, but I think he plugged his book.
Man.
I mean, he's just like, you're nothing, Shelton. You came here. You're the Intercontinental Champion. You beat Carlito a few times. You never beat Carlito and all this other stuff. He was just talking evil down Shawn Michaels' back. What have you accomplished? Nothing. He had to grab the thing by the juggler and be aggressive and yada yada yada. And Shelton, you do this and you can be like come to the dark side with me and the Emperor and Vader over here and you'll make it.
Okay. I just want to let you guys say nothing about the Vader and stuff was said, but that may be what's went on in Marcus' head.
That's what goes on in my head. You gotta go to the dark side.
Pretty much he told Shelton.
I said what he said.
No, you said he saw Vader that.
I said he said come over here with him and Vader to the dark side with him and Lord Sidious.
And let me translate what that means to
the fans. Palpatine.
He asked if Shelton wanted to have friends or to be successful. He questioned his attitude and then went to commercial. That has nothing to do with Vader, Lord Sidious.
He said he has to go to the dark and it's Dark Sidious. It has to go to the dark side, pretty much.
I don't know.
For him to be successful.
I don't know.
He has to be an aggressor. Grab it by the juggler, twist Jake off the head.
He said he just needs some attitude. So they went to commercial. They came back. They were back in the courtroom. Coach was on the phone with someone that could be proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Eric should keep his job. Then they went to the ring for the match.
The trial shouldn't have been here.
Chavo Guerrero versus Lance K. Now, I have to say, since they split up the tag team, Trevor Murdoch has got more love than Lance K. But I have to say that Lance K had one of the worst wrestling outfits on I have ever seen in wrestling last night.
It wasn't that bad.
It was bad.
I didn't mind it.
Pretty much how this match goes,
he's seasoned.
Okay. Lance Cade is going for a suplex. Chavo counters the suplex, lands a DDT, then wins the match with a frog splash with the chance of Eddie behind him.
This match sucked. That's all I can say.
Well, it sucked because it was just thrown in there. It was just like, it was one of those matches that had no purpose to be on the show, and no one really wants to see Lance Cade.
It sucked.
All right.
Worst frog splash again. Stop doing the frog splash, Gory. Chavo. Gory Bob.
Even though.
Although he can't live less. He's a big guy.
I'm just curious. Even though he's doing a frog splash out of respect to his uncle, even though he's not doing it right, but as the announcers pointed out, that every time he does it, he's a tribute to his late fallen uncle, you still want him to stop doing that?
Absolutely. It's ugly. There's no need to see that. Because just a big splash and he's just. Looks like he's decombobulating or something.
Okay.
I feel the
man wanted to do a tribute to his uncle. He should be able to do it.
Hey, he did the tribute. That frog splash ain't working.
Now it's time.
Don't do a frog splash.
Now it's back to the courtroom. It's time for the fifth witness.
He gets no height.
It's time for Daivari. Daivari said the show was pathetic.
Hold on, before you say Daivari. Daivari was pimped out in a white suit.
Now, can I go back to Daivari?
Go away. Go back.
Okay.
Pimped out.
Daivari said the show was pathetic when Foley was the commissioner, and Bischoff has improved it.
Those were the days when Foley was the commissioner.
McMahon says he didn't hear a word that he was saying because he was listening to his iPod and Ashley Simpson and said, God, that she sucked. My question is...
Why does Ashley Simpson suck? Because aren't you a big fan?
I have nothing against the CD.
You're a big fan.
I'm just saying, if you don't like the CD, why'd you put it on your iPod, man?
He just wanted to test it.
And Ashley Simpson's the best thing that you can do after all the art.
How do you know that it wasn't even Stephanie's iPod that she left with?
Of all the people that they have featured souls for their pay-per-view, he couldn't listen to one of their albums. Ashley Simpson had to be the one.
Well, he tried to listen to POD. He just wasn't a fan.
Then Coach suggests.
And Creed, come on.
Coach suggests.
It feels so good to be inside.
I don't even know if that's a Creed song.
Take me higher.
Can you
all
stop?
The songs sound alike.
Can you please, let's go back because you're making fun of Creed for
my
no good
sacrifice.
Reason. Okay, Coach suggests that Daivari repeat himself. Finn said there's no because it's no necessary because he didn't want to hear what Daivari had to say anyway. And then he also screwed Daivari again and said that he wasn't going to be the ref. Now, with Eric Bischoff being fired, as we all know what happens later on tonight, does the beeping continue? Is Daivari still his personal ref?
I'm assuming Daivari is no longer his personal referee, but he is now the best manager in professional wrestling today.
Then Vince announces a recess where Foley pulls out a moon pie and an RC Cola out of his Batman lunchbox, which was very funny to me because, man, a grown-ass man with a Batman lunchbox with moon pies and
what the
RC
hell are you
Cola.
Trying to say about me? And my RC Cola.
Okay. It's about your Batman fanboyness.
Hey, I can't.
They went to commercial, and then it was time for, I guess it's Shooting with Edge, also known as the Cutting Edge.
Shooting with Edge? What the? I've never heard that line.
Well, because all Edge is doing is shooting. It's a shoot interview. He has an open mic. They tell him to hit some specific points, but he can say what he want, when he want, and how he want.
He's scripted.
The whole night, they were pumping up Ric Flair being on the show. But,
and they showed that mugshot.
When Edge came out, he said Flair wasn't going to be on the show because of his lawyer's advice. Which is actually a good point because there's no reason to go on national TV like Randy Orton did and announce that you killed somebody.
No, I feel Flair could have came on. I mean, what could he have said?
Martin, if he...
I committed road rage.
If he says anything, they can turn that against him in the court of law.
It's fake!
No, it doesn't matter. They will turn
that
against him. Marcus, the law.
Well, he didn't even have the same thing. You have air sham every day.
The law is a tricky subject.
You can have air sham and give him a little bop.
So, Ed said that the hard living Flair did has finally caught up with him, and that's why he did his crime. Also, he said, the mugshot posing, handcuff wearing, and road rage committing convict, something like that, made fun of his catchphrase. Lita then talked about that the only reason why he's beating up people on the road is because he can't cut in the ring no more. Before I even get into what happened after that, don't you think this is a great time to strip Flair out of the belt?
Not quite yet. Like I said, 30 days.
Why?
Marcus, you have to pace it.
The man has been charged with a crime. I don't care. That's grounds enough to release the belt.
30 days. You got to do it like I said so Rob Van Dam can get healthy. Put him in that tournament.
You want everybody to do it the way that you say.
You got to do it my way or the highway.
So this comes out to an entertaining part of the cutting edge.
Woo.
Michael Hayes and Sergeant Slaughter comes out to tell Edge to stop the show because he's
going too far. Did I ever tell you that Michael Hayes is my favorite wrestler of all time?
Okay, whatever. Pretty much, I'm not going to tell you how the interaction went here and there.
Oh, come on!
No, I'm going to tell you. Edge,
come on, the duck was
no,
dirty.
I'm going to tell you. Edge talks about Michael Hayes drinking
wait,
problem.
Just yet, before you get into this.
Okay.
We got to get back to Edge and Lita. They're sitting there on the stool. And then they're just baffling on and just going back and forth with some stupid stuff. We got to throw that in there.
Yeah, oh.
That was just awful.
I was reading on the internet. A lot of people felt that either Lita was drunk or hot. She looked like she was animated about it.
Yeah, she was going.
It's like okay, Edge is entertaining on the mic. He was doing a good job cutting his promo.
At the end, when he was just mouthing off and stuff. It was awful.
Lita sucks, and Lita has no business.
Lita was drunk.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway,
I didn't realize it until you thought about it. Lita was drunk as hell.
Yeah, Michael Hayes and Sergeant Slaughter come out, which made like the high point of the night. Edge talks about Hayes' drinking problem. And also brought up the fact that he wouldn't attack Edge because his former tag team partner, Terry Gordy, wasn't there, who is deceased, that hit a sour note with Michael Hayes. But Michael Hayes, I can't remember Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy as the Freebirds. I don't know.
See, that's why you're not as old as me.
Okay, I am older.
That was one of the greatest teams ever.
Technically, I'm older.
I forgot. I can't believe I left him off my list.
Technically, I'm older than you. Well, Hayes cuts his great promo. He said that Edge has no respect for his forefathers. He didn't say forefathers, but that's what he was saying. And he also hasn't accomplished anything in wrestling, such as being a main event, also selling out arenas, and also being a world champ. He kind of said, let's add up what you have done. He said it all equals zero. Then, after that, you know,
Wait a minute. You just skipped through everything Doc said. The frustration in Doc's eyes. The emotion trickling out of his breath as he harnessed the hatred for Edge, who he treated like his son. When he was like, what is wrong with you kids today? By the pay-per-view in November 9th, 1999 in your house.
Now, you have just spit it all over me.
Sometimes you deserve it.
Okay, no, you, once again. Michael Hayes, after the comment is made about his late partner, then takes a shot at Edge and said the only reason why he has this show is because he's boinking Matt Hardy's girlfriend.
Who is no longer Matt Hardy's girlfriend, so he was very inaccurate.
So pretty much they get in a fight and Edge ends up knocking out Michael Hayes with the Money in the Bank.
I was disturbed by this, though.
What disturbed me about this was that Sergeant Slaughter didn't do a damn thing.
Sergeant Slaughter got kicked in his nuts and he was like, you know what, I'm Sergeant Slaughter.
It's like, he was like, I'm hood.
What happened to, I'm sorry that I put you to boot camp.
Sergeant didn't say nothing the whole night.
He didn't say anything but get kicked in the groin area. And went down. And I think it was by Lita.
Yeah.
Lita was drunk.
You have any more else to say about this before we move on to the next match?
They need to make Doc a manager of somebody, man. Doc had it.
Shelton Marcus?
He was in the zone.
Shelton Marcus?
Not Shelton right now. Not Shelton. Daivari is Shelton's manager.
Well, why not? Former team Angle again.
No. Forget Angle.
If Daivari is Angle.
No, they're going to separate. Because Angle, well, he ain't never had a manager. They're separating. Because Daivari can't manage a referee his matches no more. You got to move him away from Angle. And put him and push him to a Shelton, who is now the best wrestler in the business. Where was I? What were we talking about before
Daivari
managing? Oh, we talking about Doc should be somebody managing. I say maybe Cade, Murdoch, somebody.
Marcus, get first of all,
somebody.
No, okay, first of all, no one likes Lance Cade.
I'm just, Eric, I wasn't really being specific on the wrestler.
I can take him being Trevor Murdoch's thing. You know what?
No, I was just throwing out names.
Though, once Daivari, because, you know, eventually he probably will break away from Kurt Angle, he should have a little stable of his own.
I think Daivari's going to Shelton.
I don't know.
I feel that'd be perfect. It'll work.
So, you have nothing else to say about the cutting edge?
Other than Doc should be a manager. Other than Lita was drunk. Other than they start talking stupid. And they had a pretty nice set.
It was nothing.
It was some black carpet.
And stools. It was no carpet. It was a stool.
It was a mat. It was black.
It was?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I saw it on Unlimited.
So, after this, it was a Triple H versus Tajiri match that Eric Bischoff made. I was highly disappointed by this match. Because I thought after they brought up all of Tajiri's accomplishments in ECW and Japan, that they would, I'm pretty sure I knew that Triple H wasn't going to lose, but I thought they were going to make Tajiri look better in this match. No. Pretty much Triple H whooped his butt the whole night and won with the pedigree.
They made Triple H look like the cerebral assassin.
Assassin.
And you know what? It's like I said, they should have got rid of the trial. Bischoff should have told Tajiri to get out there. They could have made that match longer and have Tajiri get some type of offense on Triple H. Maybe spit the miss in his eyes a little bit. Miss with the miss.
They didn't get
miss with the miss.
Like I said, I feel the trial has purpose.
It had
and we're
purpose.
Just going to have to agree to disagree. After that, speaking of the trial, they go right back to the trial. And it's time for witness number 6, Simon Dean, who didn't appear. The boogeyman showed up with a worm hanging out his nose, and he even had an opinion about a GM that he doesn't even work for. He felt that Eric Bischoff should be fired too. But I think what sold the boogeyman is how everybody had the fear of the boogeyman. Vince looked crazy, Coach looked crazy, Bischoff looked crazy.
Useless. Boogeyman shouldn't be on both shows.
He's the boogeyman. Who's going to tell the boogeyman what to do?
I think I will.
You going to tell the boogeyman what to do?
Until he teamed the Undertaker and showed me he could actually perform in a match, I'm not intimidated by him yet.
Okay.
I find him mortal.
So, pretty much all your wrestling thing, you're such a TNA fan right now, because you're wrestling, the matches have to do with talking, no more stories.
But no, this story just dragged out through the night. They didn't establish anything else in the night. Matter of fact, let me throw something else out about this trial. I know I hate the man to the point when I spew for hours about John Cena. What the hell was he? They forced him into the show at the end.
You know what? You can't blame the trial on that. John Cena just not show ready.
No. They could have put him somewhere other than in the forcing him in
the
end.
What I don't understand why you say you don't know the trial is necessary, because last week, the main folks, when they left, even when they went off the air, Vince said he's going to take off the trash.
He could just came out there, and Bischoff could persuade him in the beginning to think about it through the whole night, and they sit in the locker room and have a little banter here and there, but not too long like the trial was, and then come out in the end.
They had the full...
And then they end it.
No, because if they're bringing in the new regime, so they have to just show that they're really getting rid of Bischoff. It's like...
Vince ain't no judge! And Foley ain't no prosecutor!
Hey, Vince is what he
and
wants
let
to
me
be.
Speak of Foley. I would have rather seen Steve Austin prosecute him.
Steve Austin is still not on good terms with the WWE.
He's on good terms again.
He's not on good terms enough to appear on TV just yet.
He's not on good terms to fight Hulk Hogan.
And why would he... See, Steve Austin being a prosecutor would make no sense.
Yes, it would have.
Why?
Bischoff fired him in WCW because he said a guy in black tights and bald head would never make it in this business.
But he's going to work for Vince, and we all know how Steve Austin
is. He's not working for Vince.
Yes,
he's working for against Bischoff.
Marcus.
Just like Foley.
Mark, this trial, you know it was the ultimate screw job against Bischoff.
Exactly. That's why I shouldn't have been in the show.
Anyway, Steve Austin wouldn't have worked.
It would have
worked. Triple H is walking in the background, punking all the employees. Then he runs into the Big Show. And Big Show brings up this is his typical behavior of Hunter, picking on easy targets. He said it will be different when he gets Triple H in the ring. When is the Big Show going to get Triple
New
H
Year's
in the ring?
New Year's Revolution and Elimination Chamber. Just like that.
Then we went back to the courtroom. Marcus' favorite segment of the whole entire show. And it's time for Witness Maria, who came in wearing a little short dress, who everybody was gawking at. Coach and Bischoff was making smart remarks like this should be entertaining because they felt she was dumb. She gets on the stand. She requests to be questioned by Mr. Sacco.
And I felt this was the straw point of the testimony.
She gets in there. She gives like a Harvard graduate dissertation of what events Bischoff has done to her.
That was Matrix-like. You know what that? Are you taking these those big words?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was doing, man. I didn't know what the hell she said.
Her, pretty much, Vince says, the trial's over for her.
Okay, I go. How come she didn't have any type of injuries? Didn't she get ankle slammed or shouldn't she be hurt somewhat?
Because the ankle slam is not what damaged the people. The ankle slam is just what gets them down for the ankle lock.
The ankle slam used to knock people out.
Yes, but that's before he figured out the ankle lock was there.
Oh, watch the Ken Shamrock tapes.
Ken Shamrock. So, Vince said he's taking a decision back into the ring where he's going to give off his decision. Then it was time for the main event match, which should have ended the show instead of being before the end of the show.
Nah, this match wasn't good enough to end the
show. Kurt Angle and Carlito versus Shawn Michaels and Shelton. Only thing this match is really establishing is that eventually Shelton is going to turn to a heel.
Before the match started, though, why was Kurt Angle wearing tennis shoes? I have a pair of tennis shoes just like he was wearing.
I think that's his new wrestling tennis shoes.
No, that's the first time I've seen him in them. John Cena wears tennis shoes. Kurt Angle should wear wrestling boots.
He didn't
look right.
You should see it next week. Those are actually wrestling boots. Those are mid-top wrestling boots.
Yeah, those are bad.
I felt they didn't do nothing to him. It's just
he looked it.
If Kurt Angle has bad feet, wearing those big boots hurt his feet, let the man wear.
He just looked like he didn't care. Because he knew what this
match was. So pretty much how this match ends, Michaels is beating up Carlito, and he lands the elbow off the top rope. He's stomping his foot to set up for the sweet chin music, but then Shelton decides to give a blind tag. Now, Shelton goes to the top rope. He goes for a cross body splash on Carlito. He crashes and burns. Carlito gets the 1-2-3 to win the match. Now, was it a bad match because your boy lost again?
No, it was honestly just a bad match. It wasn't entertaining. It was boring. Doesn't happen. And the ending was stupid, by the way. They could have just had Shawn Michaels super kick him in the mouth. Or he super kicks Shawn Michaels, and it costs him the match.
So, Michaels looks upset about losing after the match, and he goes to offer to help Shelton up. Shelton slaps the hand away and walks away. Shawn looks like he's really shocked. Now, you're saying that Shawn Michaels just super kicked Shelton?
By accident. Or Shelton accidentally hit him, which catches them off guard, and then Carlito can grab the middle rope.
Do you think that because the theme of the show was the trial markers, that's why they didn't want to throw this new storyline into the mix? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to establish that storyline next week.
Yeah, but they could have did something better. I mean, that was just a dumb ending.
No, I think they're...
I mean, Shelton just... How many times have he really crashed the bird, but not like that? And, you know, and just... That was just
2 weeks in a row.
Nah, that was just bad right there. The impact of the mat didn't even look like it hurt it. I could have took a jump like that.
Okay, so backstage, Vince and Stephanie arrive in the limo. This is after the match, of course. And Triple H is there. He said, tells Vince, don't you want to hear what your number one guy in the business would like to say? Kind of ironic since he's not the champ and John Cena's the champ. So wouldn't that make John Cena the number one guy?
Well, Triple H has been on the show more than John Cena. That's all I got to say.
So Triple H praises Bischoff. But then McMahon cuts him off and was like, only reason why you want him there is because you can get him to do what you want to do. Triple H agrees. Good. Then for some reason, Vince decides to introduce Stephanie to Triple H. When they have been married, they're married in real life, they've been divorced. I didn't get this angle. It was like 10 seconds of awkward silence. Unless... You know what? Maybe the reason why Triple H ain't going after the belt, because maybe he's going to be the GM next week.
I doubt that.
He is daddy's son.
Yeah, but I really, 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 really doubt that.
So, they're back
in... Because how many title shots is he going to give himself?
I don't know.
Week after week, I'm shelling you, Cena.
So, they get back into the ring, because it's time to deliver the final verdict. Foley gives his closing statement that they have the trash truck out here. Let's take out the trash. Coach is about to begin, but Bischoff takes the mic, says he's going to defend himself, says that he's a great man. He didn't always do what the fans wanted, but he did what was best for the show. He took credit for creating the Elimination Chamber. Says that Vince and him is just alike. I thought by him taking credit for the Elimination Chamber was just a cheat way to announce the Elimination Chamber at New Year's Revolution.
Well, DirecTV had already announced it.
Yeah, I mean, on a commercial. So
for like 2 weeks now, you know.
So, what you can say. And here comes Marcus' favorite person, John Cena, finally interrupts.
They forced him in this show.
He says that Bischoff is a jack-off, and says that Vince stands for free speech, and that's the difference between Bischoff and Vince. I don't get the difference because I don't know how much Vince stands for free speech. He says, and the decision shouldn't be up to Vince. It should be up to the fans.
Who cares?
So he asked the fans.
Who cares what he says?
He asked the fans.
Who cares what they says either?
He asked the fans.
You knew what they were going to say.
And they wanted him to be fired.
You knew what they were going to say. And you, who cares what he thinks anyway?
So Vince made his announcement that the Elimination Chamber is official for the New Year's Revolution pay-per-view. He then fired Bischoff, and Cena gave him the FU. Then Vince McMahon got the remains of Bischoff's body after the awful FU and put him in a trash truck, drove off, and that's how it went off. Now, Marcus, since you have said it and spewed it throughout the entire night that you really hated this edition of Raw, I'm going to give you your chance to comment on this without me interrupting.
I already commented.
So you have no closing comments because you know we're at the end of the show. So
trial's useless. Cena was forced in. TNA had a lot of useless stuff. Poor week for wrestling for me. And nothing was accomplished during this week.
And that's your opinion?
That's my opinion. That's just one man's opinion.
Well, for me, going into the TNA Impact, I was disappointed with the quality of the matches, but I think they really...
Wait. You wasn't disappointed by the X Division.
I actually was. I feel like there you go. No,
let me throw the pin down on the ground. Yeah. How the hell are you going to be this? That was a good match and the only good match of the week.
Can I ask a question? Can I finish my closing statement before you interrupt me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now back to like I was saying as I get back into my ponder position.
Interruption.
TNA Impact to me, it was just a mediocre show. I mean, they established more of the most interesting storylines with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, even though they only gave him 30 seconds. But the worst part about it, in that 30 seconds, they accomplished more than Jared did in his 10-minute spew talking about Rhino. Because what really sucks is that for the last 2 weeks, the only things that we have seen of Rhino is a video. Rhino has not been on television. So that's, to me, that's really stupid. Also, I guess they did a pretty good job as reestablishing Abyss, and he's not as afraid of barbed wire as he should be. But, like I said, I didn't feel like the fans were really excited about what they were doing. So TNA was eh. Now, to Raw, I have to say I enjoyed the Raw. This has been one of the Raws I have enjoyed in a long, long time. I find it very entertaining. I felt that it was a shock to me because, as probably everybody else, when they said that they were going to take out the trash, we all was expecting just a simple firing, Vince coming out saying, "You're fired." But they threw the trial in there. I thought it was a nice twist. Why they're trying to... They also threw a couple of other stories in there. The Shelton story. Well, that's actually the only story they really threw in there.
About him turning bad guy.
The Kane match, it was okay. Squash match. Thought the choke slam was nice. Overall, like I said, of this Raw, I would actually, out of a scale of 10, I would give it a 7.5. I enjoyed this episode of Raw. Find it funny and entertaining. Marcus disagree. As for Impact, on a scale of 10, I would give it a 5 because it was simply mediocre.
I give Impact higher than I gave Raw. There was nothing insane about Raw. There was the trial and then nothing else in between it.
I enjoyed the trial. I thought the trial carried the show.
The trial was weak.
The trial carried the show.
It was weak.
Like I said, me and Marcus can't agree to disagree in this episode. If you guys agree with me or Marcus, feel free to send us the email at thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Eventually, in a couple of weeks, we'll probably have another poll question up there. Really don't have any idea what it should be. So if you guys have any suggestions or anything that you would like to know what other people think, shoot us some suggestions for a poll questions also at our email. Do you have anything else to say, Marcus?
How in the hell are you giving Raw a better review than TNA?
Because I enjoyed it.
At least TNA had one good match.
I enjoyed Raw better than I did
Raw
TNA.
Raw did nothing.
I liked the trial. What can I say?
The trial was useless.
We're all entitled to our own opinions. As you
trial was useless.
To you.
It was.
But to me, I found it entertaining.
Useless.
Hopefully, in the next episode, Marcus will be more energetic and more involved in the show because he's been
very quiet. Involved.
No, you're mulling.
There's just nothing to say.
You're mulling over your fact of your school. But anyway, I'm Eric.
Oh, and I guess I'm the Marcus guy. The grand finale.
See, look, he doesn't even want to say.
Does the grand finale.
He doesn't even want to say his catchphrase tonight.
I don't even have a catchphrase.
I'm Marcus, the grand finale. You don't even have
I just
to say
said
it. But you don't have the energy that you always have behind it.
Because, man, I have a lot on my mind.
All right.
I got things to take care
of. Okay. Well,
I got to make moves. I got to make a jump. Got to go over the car. Got to go to the moon.
All right. Well, we're the Sharks.
Woo!
And this is the end of our show. We'll see you guys for the next episode. See you guys then.
Right now, leaving their apartment, looking down at the street and wondering where their car went. Someone in a car sitting at a signal in front of a restaurant, staring through the window at someone right now with their finger in their teeth who could use a little floss. Right across the street to somebody on the curb who really needs a jacket. Spent half the rent at a bar getting plastered. Now he's gotta walk 14 blocks just to work at a shop where he's about to get fired. Someone right now is looking pretty tired, staring at a laptop trying to get inspired. Or somebody living right across the street just wrote the best thing that she's written all week, but her best friend's coughing up blood in the sink. He can't even think what happened, feeling so confused, and he knows it looks bad, but there's nothing he can do. I wonder what it's like to be right there in his shoes, but no, just taking it in out the window of a hotel bedroom again. Tomorrow I'll be gone, I don't know when I'll be back. In this world, everything can change just like that, just like that. Yo, somebody right now is dropping his vote inside a box and trying to not get shot in his throat for the act of freedom. Right now, somebody's stuck in Iraq, hoping that he gets shit back breathing in a war, but he's not really sure of the reasons. So we show our support when the press mislead him. Though we mourn, remain proud, salute the troops. Get some, I know you boys got some work to do. Meanwhile, right now, someone's 25 to life and standing on the corner with their thumb up hitchhiking, scratching off a lotto ticket, hoping for a real winner. Sneaking through the border just to work and eat a real dinner. Right now, someone wishes they were you and I, instead of second guessing fatal thoughts of quiet suicide. But right now, staring at the window at a fiend with holes in his arm and holes in his jeans. He pulled out a cigarette and sparked a light and walked right around the corner just out of my sight. But yo, I'm just taking it in from a second story hotel window again. The TV's on and my bags are packed, but in this world everything can change just like that. Like that, 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 that. Taking it in from a second story hotel window again. The TV's on and my bags are packed, but in this world everything can change just like that, like that, 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 like that, like that, like that, like that. Yeah. Right now, somebody's sitting in the darkness trying to figure how to put some heat in their apartment. But they got a little mattress, little carpet, and they appreciate it because some people on the park bench. You see them when you rushing to get to the office. Wife ride rhyme when she coming from the market. Right now, somebody coming out the pocket trying to dump that rock. They run around the block with same time the cops is raising the clock with aim to fill your legs and your back with some hot shit. Right now, somebody's struggling to stop this man. He's kicking and punching and cussing at the doctors. Down the hall, the child taking his first breath, the doctors ain't even passed him to the nurse yet. Yo, I wonder if he understand what it's worth yet. Like the time spent while we here on the earth yet. The answer to the questions we all see can be found. It depends on how free y'all think. Right now, it's somebody who ain't eat all week that will kill for the shit you throw away in the street. I guess one man's trash is the next man's treasure. One man's pain is the next man's pleasure. One say infinity, the next say forever. Right now, everybody got to get it together, man. Look, I'm just taking it in. Another strange hotel lobby again. With my luggage on my back, I don't know where I'm at. I'm in a world where it all changed just like that.